Blog Talk Radio.
Keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same, keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America, how do you like that name? USA, and y'all can keep the change.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Patriot Family Chat. My name is Linda. I'm here in Oceanside, and I got Bill Strong on the air. Hope he can hear me, and hope FT can hear me. Thanks for joining us. Are you there, Bill?
I'm here.
All right. So hopefully, I couldn't call in, but I finally got through. It was very weird. Skype is going bonkers. BTR is going bonkers. So got in. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. That's about the best I can say right now.
Yeah.
But dealing with things in my own personal life. But
oh, yeah.
And then coming back and seeing what's going on otherwise, doing to check some stuff.
Sure.
You and I were just talking about a little video from Howard Stern.
Oh, my Lord. I only got the first 3 minutes, but oh, my Lord.
Oh, it just blows your mind. And because apparently he went through there, and everybody he talked to was just like that, Linda.
Oh, my gosh.
They were throwing, what do you think about Obama picking Paul Ryan? And these guys were giving reasons why they liked Paul Ryan.
And what was that one lady who she said that she thought McCain would win this time by 20 points?
Oh, she thought Obama would beat McCain by 20 points.
Oh, I see.
And then the other guy said McCain would get 40% of the vote. And
oh,
then there was
Lord.
The one asked her, well, are you not voting for Romney because he's pro-gay? And the guy says that's exactly why he wasn't voting for him. You know, they reversed all the platform, all the things that Obama stood for, and threw them out there as if the other side was doing it. And it was just amazing. It shows how clueless and ill-informed and uneducated part of the populace is. And how do you reach people like that?
I don't think you can, Bill. You know, we've talked about this before, and even some of the people in my circles who are not quite that inept, they don't read either. I mean, and I know I read more than a lot of folks, but it's just part of my DNA right now. I feel I have to. You know, I can't even, poor Howard Stern, and I don't even know what side of the aisle Howard Stern is on, but he was probably pretty shocked as well. Oh, my Lord. And it's funny and sad at the same time. I mean, as you can well imagine.
Howard couldn't understand how anybody did not know Osama bin Laden was dead.
Yeah. Do they don't, apparently they don't even watch news channels of any stripe.
They don't watch the news. They can't read a paper or anything.
No.
Because they have no clue about anything. When they mentioned, well, you're against Romney because he's black. I was, oh, no, race ain't got anything to do with it. That, that just blew my mind.
I know,
how
Bill.
How can you be so clueless not to know that Mitt Romney's a white guy? And that Obama's the one who's pro-gay, and it just goes and blows my mind.
Yeah, it's
and, but
it's
that's the kind
sad.
Of people that are. It shows us the kind of people that are supporting Obama.
Of course. Well, not only that, then of course the Uber left and the Illuminati at some point, and the unions and all his buddies and all his Fabian socialist buddies. I mean, the list goes on. It's pretty sad. I was watching Glenn again today. And I did mention this yesterday, and I'll probably do it on my show, but tomorrow and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, if anyone has Dish, it's on, because Glenn's on Dish now on 212, I guess the station is. He's doing The Project 2 days in a row. It's a documentary they've been working 8 months on, and this information was written by the Muslim Brotherhood. This is something that they've uncovered. So in fact, Glenn says, I don't even want my name on this because everybody, you know, screams and carries and on and has fits because he's involved with things. But I think we should look at it, and I think we should make up our own minds and fact check and verify these people's credibility. But apparently this is pretty important stuff, and it's terrifying. So,
well, it's a jihad on the American people being pulled up by the DOJ. And it's exactly what it is. The information's out there. The connections are there between the Muslim Brotherhood and a lot of people within this administration. They're in Homeland Security. They're in the DOJ. They're in the White House. Any kind of reaction. Like we saw today with Obama at the UN, his
mm-hmm.
speech. What I took most from his speech was a lot of the stuff he said that he was against at the UN were exactly the same things that he is doing here in the United States. It was a hypocritical
wow.
bunch of crap. And what? The thing about insulting Islam, you know, and this
yes,
and that.
Yes, I heard that.
Now, he did go on to say, you know, mention some things. But the way he did that, if you look at it right and take his wording, if you say Jesus Christ, you're insulting Islam.
Yeah, well, he only said a couple things about the Christianity stuff, you know, probably because he's gotten so much backlash from the people on the right and, you know, and rightfully so. But the problem is miserable Hillary is out there, and she's already signed something with these guys at the UN this week. And Glenn's going to – I guess they're going to talk about it on this in this documentary.
You're one of them that knows. I've been trying to warn people about Hillary and what she has been doing for over a year, about her
right.
involvement with the UN to destroy our First Amendment rights, our Second
and
Amendment
our second.
Rights, our 10th, our 12th, and our 16th Amendments.
Everything.
I mean – yeah, and to think that this is the person that they think in the future will replace Obama on the Democratic ticket, I got news for them. By the time she gets done serving under Obama, she will have so much baggage, she won't have a chance in an election.
Well, exactly. It's pretty crazy what's – I'm trying to type this in. My mom was talking to me. She didn't know I was doing this show. She was asking me about Sheriff Bill Gore, and she was upset about him. And when I get off the air, I'll explain who he is. He's our San Diego sheriff. He was partially in charge as an FBI guy during the Ruby Ridge deal. We're so lucky to not, and that's sarcastic, to have this rotter. He's not a constitutional sheriff, so I will enlighten my mother yet again. Apparently there's this global effort to make it a law that you cannot defame or diss Islam whatsoever. And I'm afraid our stupid senators will sign it. That's what I'm afraid of.
If they do that, they're just the same as admitting that Sharia law as the law of the nation. They know that. They're a fool if they think they're not.
You know, what I've discovered, and I've thought about this in the last week or so, that I realized that the mosquito class was all in on this garbage, probably just in the middle of 2010, after I sent out 221 letters to these clowns, because all these so-called Tea Party, you know, what do you call it, first-timers coming in there as freshmen in the House and Senate, and I got one response back. And I don't even remember the guy's name, just one person out of all of those people. And then everything that Obama was doing, everything, all of his executive orders, all of his usurpations, all of his shredding of the Constitution, and we got nothing from these people, not a peep, not even a murmuring of impeachment. I knew. So I said, that's it. I'm not sending any more letters to these coneheads.
Well, many of us have said all along, you're fighting both sides. You just got to wake up and realize that. But that's what we're fighting against, both sides. Their silence speaks volumes, and they have been silent for too long while our laws and our freedoms and our liberties are cast to the side.
And Rome is burning.
To pave the way for their Agenda 21, and I hear a lot of people talking about NWO and all these things, and if they would all just read the Agenda 21, they'd know exactly what was going on and who's behind everything.
Right. Well, what's happened is, now they're sitting idly by, of course, while the global caliphate in our own country gets a toehold. And this is why this documentary, I think, is very important. At least let the people know what's going on. You probably will not hear one peep from one network on anything on that black box in your living room. Not one word, unless.
Well, the truth is, we were better off with Gaddafi and Mubarak and the others in charge. And what we did was Obama set up and aided and assisted the Muslim Brotherhood in taking over and getting established themselves in the power positions in those countries. And he's trying to do the same thing in Syria.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's on there today saying, well, he ended the war in Iraq. Well, how come people are still dying every day?
The Middle East, this whole thing was, and according to Glenn today on his show, that good old Junior Bush was knew about this project. He doesn't care. He's in on this. And every single
that the Bush family, the establishment was involved with them, that all they're doing is jockeying to see which one is going to have the power of control over us.
Yeah, wait till they see the size of the scimitar that comes after their necks, the stupid fools. Somebody should enlighten them on the night of the long knives. They're going to need that real soon. It's just unbelievable. I mean, if these coneheads really think that they are going to be part of the few that, you know, you can't mess with that kind of an ideology. They're crazy.
That's right, and you can't tell all the occupiers out there who don't want to work but expect everything handed to them that once their agenda is in place, your butt is euthanized. You're gone because you serve no purpose. You're not producing.
Sure.
And they're not smart enough. I don't care how they could be in college for 20 years. They're just not smart enough to get it.
Yeah, plus they've been indoctrinated by Marx, Alinsky, and Howard Zinn as well for 4 years. You know, that doesn't help. So, or whoever's teaching, like Bill Ayers, I guess he still has his tenure at some college. I can't remember which one. It's insane. And then the people that Howard Stern interviewed, those poor schmucks, they can't even tie their own shoelaces, Bill. So I absolutely almost feel sorry for those.
Ron's right. We don't run the military, the police, or the security forces. But I am involved around the military. I have a daughter in the military, a son that was in the military. I have other relatives still in the military. I talk to a lot of military personnel all the time. And I happen to know that the military is not on Obama's side. He may have a handful of them, but the vast majority in the military are not, I repeat, are not on Obama's side.
Oh, I believe you, Bill. I've seen the Facebook pictures of the guys with the helicopters hanging the empty chair out of the side of the thing. I know that they're not allowed to, probably while they're in uniform, say anything, but I'll bet you behind closed doors they're allowed to say a whole bunch, and they are oath keepers. You know they are.
Well, you know, their family, like a lot of them have parents, and their parents are talking to them when they're home or writing them letters and stuff. You know, hey, they have an attachment to their to the country, not to the president, but to the country and the Constitution and to their family. When you try to turn them on their families, that's you're just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I don't know what the percentages are because I'm not a statistician, but you're probably since you have your ear to the ground on these things, you're probably more correct. What this project is going to do is going to also do the side by side of the I think it was done in the 60s or the yeah it was in the 60s when they had the tenets of the Communist Manifesto, and there was probably 100 of them or 150 of them, and they started looking at that side by side with the Muslim Brotherhood tenets in this project. They're almost identical. I mean, just like we talked the other day about the identicalness of Communist Manifesto, Agenda 21, and things that go on, and you know, in all these factions are almost all identical. So this is something to worry about. You know, again, prayer is the best. Knowledge is good. Reading the Word, stocking up on everything you can, and trying to prepare your own community and your family. And I know we talked, I think, yesterday too. Man, side with your neighbors because they're going to expect us to be at each other's throats, and we can't.
I'm not
here to say, you know, like we've talked, Islam is probably not a peaceful ideology. It probably was born out of evilness, whatever.
One of their major ideas for promoting it here in this country, though, is to destroy, to help further destroy the American culture. You let Islam and Sharia get a toehold here, our culture's done. We're back to the Stone Age.
If these folks get their way, this is what I'm saying. I don't have a banner on the outside of my house saying, you know, screw Muhammad. I'm not saying that. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a bad Christian. But if somebody comes at me with one of those ugly knives, I got a 12-gauge. Better not try to take that gun away from me. Because you don't know what these guys are going to do. Do you trust them? Oh, my gosh. You think it's just going to be real?
After the last 20 years or so here, I don't trust any politician. I'll be honest. I just have a hard time looking at any one of them and putting any kind of trust in faith because I've seen too many people get in there, go to Washington, and as soon as they go to Washington, they become a whole different person. They're driven by greed and their own self-preservedness. And we desperately do need some way to we need term limits. That needs to be done. But you've got to weed out the influence, and I don't know how you go about it, but you're going to have to weed out the influence from lobbyists and corporations on both sides of the aisle. And I love how one side is always bringing up the Koch brothers, but whenever I ask them about Soros, they clam up. They don't know nothing.
Well, you ought to also ask them about Warren Buffett, Jeffrey Immelt, all these people, Maurice Strong. Good old Bill Gates, which I explained to my mother, is a Fabian socialist who believes in eugenics and that we're he's all with this in with this global warming nonsense because he's an elitist. I'm surprised
Bill Gates. And, you know, we all know I've broadcasted out there that Gates bought 500,000 shares of Monsanto. And I just read today where in France they're suing Monsanto because they've got proof, I guess, that Monsanto's food is poisoning people.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Over here, they are protecting the living hell out of Monsanto for some reason. Is that because of how the Democrats that are tied into the management of Monsanto and stuff? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when the rest of the world is trying to get rid of Monsanto, this country is opening up its arms to them.
Yeah, Ron was typing in that Ron Paul is a barometer of the American idea. Too many patriots are confused over what the term means. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, God forbid you'd pick up a history book. I mean, that would be
gosh.
Way too much to ask. You know.
Well, a while back, a couple years ago, I think it was on Glenn. Glenn said, you know, go out and ask him some young people about what year did Christopher Columbus come here and what ships did he ride and this and that.
Right.
And I tried it with some 21 and 22-year-olds, and not one of them had a clue.
Oh,
They were just as ignorant as those ones, Obama supporters we heard on Howard Stern.
Yeah, what Bill was talking about, and we got into at the beginning of the show and just prior, there's a YouTube, Howard Stern interviews Obama supporters, and it's frightening, sad, and funny at the same time. So if you guys want to check it out, Google it.
It's sad because people are so ill-informed that somehow they are cut off so much that they don't have no concept about who is doing what.
Oh, I know. It was everything was opposite and upside down. Yeah. Okay, we've got Robert on and we got Ron on. Welcome, guys. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, glad to have you on, guys.
How you doing, Mr. Bill Strong?
I hang in there, Robert. I just keep pushing.
You know what DV really stands for?
What? I couldn't hear them.
I wrote this joke today. You know what TV really stands for?
No.
Terror at View.
No.
That was a joke.
Terror View.
That the view that's still on TV amazes me.
Oh, I know.
I thought I had to make everybody's day.
Oh, man.
What say you, Ron, about all this craziness?
You know, I think that what I was talking about with Ron Paul being a barometer, The View, Oprah Winfrey, those are also barometers that tell us the mindset of the American people. And I think it also tells the mosquito class the level of effectiveness of their indoctrination programs have created a bunch of mindless idiots. And there are very good, well-meaning, good-hearted people out there that wear the patriot banner, claim to be patriots, that are utterly and thoroughly confused over what it means to be a patriot and what it means to be an American. And you go back and you look all through, you know, the whole time that I was growing up as a kid, and I'm sure when Bill was a kid growing up, you know, we glorified World War II and World War I, and there were all these movies coming out and glorifying all this war, and it raised up a couple of generations of young men that, you know, I can remember that was our thing. You played Army, you played war, you had Army guys, and you set out your strategies, and you look at some of the most popular games like Stratego and things like that, and G.I. Joe, and you know, it's no wonder that we developed this ideology that war is good and America is really good at war and we're the best and we can kill everyone else, so don't mess with us. But that's not what it means to be an American. That wasn't the American idea. It truly wasn't. And I guarantee you, to a man, the majority of the people that cling to that false ideology today are of Bill's generation, and many of them from my generation.
I don't know that I cling to that kind of ideology. What I do cling to is this: you don't let another nation bring their rules here and dictate to us how we will live and what rules we will live under. And all I've heard, I'm here to tell you, you can pull every soldier out of every country in the Europe and bring every soldier in this world home to the United States. But Islam will eventually, within a short period of time, still attack you. There's no way out of it.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't doubt that for a moment. But, you know, I think there's, and I wasn't implying anything towards you, present company accepted, that I don't believe that you cling to that ideology. I'm just saying there are a lot of people that do, and they don't think about what the hell are we doing in this country or that country. And I think that at this point in time, it's kind of like Social Security, okay? After World War II, maybe it seemed like a good idea. that we stay in these countries and oversee the rebuilding and all of these things. I guess somewhere along the line, it seemed like a good idea to give over half of Europe to the Soviets. I'm not really clear on how that ideology worked, but it did.
I'm not either.
You know?
My ideology, Ron, is if we have to go fight somebody, if they make us have to come and fight them, we're not going to I wouldn't rebuild their country.
Well, that's just it. And, you know, that's what Ron Paul was talking about in the debates. We were talking about it today, and I said, you know, when he said, you know, we need to cut defense spending because we're frivolously spending money on things that are worthless at this point in this day
and
age.
When you're paying $300 for a toilet seat, yeah, something's wrong.
Well, and it's not, I mean, it's not even that. I mean, we know that you're not actually paying the big premiums for these items, but they got to hide, you know, off-budget black ops stuff somewhere, and that's one place. But the reality is that, you know, we're still fighting World War II in our mentality.
Right.
Or we're still fighting Vietnam in our mentality. We've changed to this managed war, political war, rather than a war of defense to annihilate and destroy your enemy. It's not about that anymore. It's not about defeating the enemy. It's about forcing your political will on your enemy and controlling the political arena globally.
And to do such, they're limiting what our soldiers can do, how they can do it, and all this and that, and they're causing people to die because of it.
Yep.
Well, that's really the point, you know, and that was the conversation I had this afternoon. With the technology that we have available, there is not an enemy on the face of this planet that would require sending our brightest and best young men and women over to sacrifice their lives and die.
Right.
They're simply not.
It's a craziness because we could have stayed here and watched and they would have killed each other.
Precisely. If you look at the structure of the Middle East, they despise one another over there.
Yeah.
And
true.
Left to their own devices, I can assure you it would be a very, very long time until they were able to develop a quote-unquote caliphate. What we have done with our foreign policy is we have given them a target of opportunity, something to be angry at, someone to hate, and a recruitment tool.
Without a doubt. I don't think a lot of people realize how divided Islam is.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you've got
like the Christians,
yeah.
You got Methodists, Baptists, all these things. Islam has Kurds, Serbs, you know, Shiites, Sunnis,
yeah.
and on. You know, they got the same problems. Only ours are more likely to be peaceful when theirs are more likely to be violent.
Well,
that's
see,
their culture.
They have a religion that justifies those type of actions and you know, preachers that glorify those actions.
But Ron, what I just still don't understand is why is the United States, our government, trying to adopt Sharia law? I can't comprehend that.
Because you have a Muslim president. And there is, we can't discount the agenda. There is an agenda. Okay?
Wrong.
And I covered part of that last night. And the agenda is to create a universal religion. And I'm here to tell you that the best way possible on the face of the planet that I could come up with, okay, is to pit the two major religions against one another and foment a religious war whereby you could justify saying we can no longer tolerate this. Religion is too intolerant, and you know, maybe Buddhism becomes the universal religion.
Global government will become the universal religion. You'll be worshiping
absolutely.
The collective. And that's you're hitting the whole point. The Muslims are being used by the global elite.
Yep, I've been saying that for years.
The same as everybody else.
The same as the Christians.
All these people on the Occupy that want to go out against the 1%. You're going against the wrong 1%. Go against the global. Go against the global elite 1%. You eliminate them, you will do this world a great service.
Well, and, you know, you're absolutely right, Bill. And, you know, this goes back to, you look at the protests that were going on in the 60s, and the people that were protesting were funded by the very people they were protesting against. They just didn't know it. And the same thing is happening right now. I mean, they're being funded by...
Why are we giving money to the Muslims that we have to fight? And I say, well, you're financing the other side that you have to fight right now. What's the difference?
We've been paying tribute to the effing Muslims for a very, very long time.
Yep.
Well, not only that, but right now, are we not paying the Democratic Party? Are they not taking taxpayer dollars to fight taxpayers?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we're funding our own demise. There is no question about it.
That's my point, Ron. We're funding our own demise. It's like, it goes beyond ignorance. It's like,
it's like being walked up to the gallows and you got to pay the $200 fee to the hangman.
Yeah.
Before he hangs you.
Did you guys know that Harry Reid was a stand-up Mormon?
Harry Reid's a jackass.
Yeah, Harry Reid is he's a total.
But he's the head jackass in the Senate, though.
And let me tell you something, guys. Don't let this pass your discernment. There is a very distinct reason why you have the top Democrat in the Senate is a Mormon. You have the top radio talk show host is a Mormon, and the current presidential hopeful is a Mormon. You name me another time in our history, or the history of the world for that matter, when if you watch the 2008 presidential debates, when they had all the candidates coming out on stage and professing their religion, you know, they had them all come out, oh, I'm Newt Gingrich and I'm a Catholic. Oh, I'm a Presbyterian. Oh, I'm a Protestant. I'm like, really? You guys make me sick. I mean, truly, it makes me sick to see it. And I've known for some time that they're using religion as a tool. And
exactly.
I'm telling you that use of religion as a tool goes all the way back to the split in the church after the first century.
I could tell you the ills of the church. In my own family, and my family founder is the Lutheran religion. That's the reason you have Emmanuel Lutherans, is because Emmanuel was the name of Emmanuel van Meteren, who translated, printed, and published the English Bible, the first version that the Lutherans use. And in our family, we had some that are stricter than others on the religion. So it split my cousin's family right down the middle to where his dad and him and his brothers and sisters, they didn't even know their grandparents and stuff because of this split.
I know.
To me, that tells me something's either wrong with the religion or something's wrong with the people practicing it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Christianity. It's the human element that is at fault. I mean, that's pretty clear. And if we go all the way back to, what was it, 1100, right in that era, 1078 to 1100 is when there was a split in the church. And you had the Catholic Church, which what had become the church was, you know, Catholicism, basically, and there was a split. And that split created Orthodox Christianity and the Roman Catholic Church. And we can take history from that point forward and look at the Roman Catholic Church and look at their, you know, you look at the Crusades, you look at all the conquest, the conquistadors, all in the name of the Holy Roman Empire, reborn in the church. And, you know, they espouse a doctrine that is not in keeping with Scripture. They include the Apocrypha in their teachings because that gives credence to the idea of praying to the saints. I've read my Bible many times, and I have never seen anything in there where Christ advocated to pray to the apostles once they'd been martyred, you know, that they would intercede for them. And I don't understand how any thinking human being that's read the Bible can believe that you could pray to some hitherto, you know, human being and that they're going to intercede on your behalf. My question to them would be, was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross not sufficient for you?
That made Jesus a little man, and I no longer need that little guy. I just need that little guy to confess to.
Well, and you know, the whole thing, I mean, if we truly and honestly do a study of the Old Testament and the New Testament, we would have to come to the conclusion that the entire Old Testament is a testimony to the fact that regardless of what human being you put in charge of running God's church, they fail. And left to human control, it's not possible. It's not doable. We cannot do it.
It's even in the church in the latter writings in the church that in the Bible that, you know, the church will there will be churches that deceive people.
Sure.
And we have that going on right now out here with churches that are deceiving people.
That's true. That's why I'm fasting here in my house by myself.
You know, I know,
if we could take religion out of everything, if we could take the religion out of it for a moment, just for a moment, and still look at the setup of the world, you're still going to see that there's always somebody, I don't know other way to put it than scamming. Scamming seems to be the way of the world.
Absolutely. It's human nature.
Example is a temp service. A temp service is a scam. It's a scam the company runs so they don't have to hire the person as soon as they would have had to hire them. They don't have to pay any benefits and this and that. And why do you even have a human resources manager and stuff if he ain't going to do his job or her job?
Well, I think just the term human resources ought to tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Hey,
surely should. Yeah.
My rabbi called me Sunday.
What did he call you?
And he called.
You bacon eater.
He tried to convince me to come to temple. I said, Rabbi, how many times do I have to tell you? I don't believe in the Orthodox beliefs. Why bother doing it every year? It says, oh, I'm just trying. I said, well, you can try all you want, Rabbi, but I'm happy where I am now.
Robert?
Yes.
If he contacts you again next year?
Yes, sir.
Ask him if he's ever heard of Albert Einstein.
I swear to God.
And when he says when he says yes, say, do you know that he defined the term insanity?
I'm just like, you know, I'm looking at all this turmoil that we're having and it's just, I mean, to be a Kipper, it was, you know, a day of atonement to reflect of every bad sin that I committed this past year, which I don't think I've committed any bad sins, but except for accidentally cussing on the show.
Only good one. Only good sin. None of the bad ones.
The bad thing, though, Robert, is that all this turmoil is being orchestrated.
Yeah, I know. But you know, I mean, I'm sitting here fasting. I have to fast 24 hours, no food, no water. And I'm fasting. I've done it every year since I was bar mitzvah, you know. And I take it with a grain of salt. The moral of the story is I'm still standing and surviving. And if that's my destiny is just to stand and survive, you know, then that's my destiny. And I'm really beginning to believe now it's the whole world's destiny now. It's just to stand and survive. That's all we have left to do.
See, I would disagree. I look at it from a little bit different viewpoint. Our destiny and everyone else's destiny in the world is not to survive. Your destiny is to die a physical death and be present with the Lord for eternity.
We're here
right now to learn the lessons. This is like a test. We're in pre-K.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the entire pretext is to utilize religion to divide people. Is that what they're doing?
Well, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no question.
My God.
Here in the United States, let's destroy the culture, destroy the economy, and destroy the ability to defend yourselves. Those are the things that will lead the steps for the world agenda to take us over. Well, they use the illegals and the Muslims to destroy our culture, and the fanatics on the left, and even the ones on the right that are fanaticals. They will use them to destroy our culture. Then they are already crushing our economy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they have been for years.
And our ability to self-defend is being weakened every day.
Well, let's go back in history for a minute. Let's start with Babylon. What was Nimrod's goal? What was the goal of Nimrod?
Wasn't he trying to reach heaven and do the utopian thing and using brick?
He was trying to build a tower and become God.
Exactly.
And he wanted to rule the world. See, God rules the world. And Nimrod wanted to rule the world.
Right.
So that's Babylon. That's the first world order. Well, the first attempt, we could say, was in the garden. And the lie was that, you know, hey, when you get knowledge, you'll become God.
Right.
Okay. What did the Egyptian Empire, what was their ideology? Knowledge. And
yes.
what did they believe that they could live forever, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That was the whole idea behind mummification and you know, all of their little rituals was eternal life. But only God promised eternal life.
Right.
The Egyptians couldn't get there through their little machinations and ceremonies. So what was the goal of the Roman Empire, the first Roman Empire? To rule the world.
Rule the world.
Okay, so weren't they trying to be collectively like Nimrod create a one-world government? You bet. They wanted to own it all. They wanted to control it all. Regardless of how benevolent their reasoning might have been. So we move forward again and we look at the, you know, okay, the Muslims, the caliphate. What was their goal? Oh, that's right, to rule the world.
Rule the world.
Right? Holy cow. How about Adolf Hitler?
Same thing.
Yeah, you know, he wanted to rule the world. How about the Soviets, the communists? Again,
yeah,
they want to rule the world. The fascists, the Marxists. Yeah, well, the Marxists didn't necessarily want to rule the world. They wanted to end all rule and just have, you know, natural existence of man, which is an impossibility because there's always going to be some schmuck that wants to be the boss.
Right.
What was the goal of the second Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire? To rule the world.
The world.
Okay, and what was the method that they were going to use to control the world? Religion. Wasn't Christianity. It was their own self-created doctrine, which is what caused the split in the church to begin with.
Sure.
What was it the Muslims were going to use to rule the world? Their own created religion. Okay? And what do we see today with the whole ideology of New World Order? Oh, no. It goes all the way back to ancient Babylon. Mystery Babylon. It goes back to the mystery occult religion. And what do we know is what's the cornerstone of Freemasonry? Okay, what is the foundation of it, but except for hidden knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all believe that there's this secret knowledge, that if they can only unlock this secret knowledge, they can control the world. And boys and girls, whether or not you believe in the Bible, whether or not you believe that, none of that matters. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. They do. Okay? And they are taking steps to institute a plan. And their plan is the same plan that Nimrod had. It's the same that the Romans had. It's the same plan that the Muslims had. And you know what? Each time they get a little bit closer to achieving their goal. And we have progressed in the fact that technology has allowed them to have more control over things, a much broader spectrum of control, and collaborate with one another. Now, they still disagree and squabble amongst themselves over the best methods, but the ends are always the same.
Sure.
The goal remains the same. And the way to achieve that goal remains the same. Bloodshed, warfare, division. And that's what you're witnessing right now. You know, Linda, you sent me that link to the opening ceremony of the,
Olympics,
the 12 Olympics. I had not watched the Olympics. So it just did not interest me in the least.
Right.
I saw it, you know, and I was talking to my stepmother about it, and she goes, "Oh, I know. They had all those kids in the hospital beds, you know, touting health care." I said, "That didn't have a damn thing to do with health care." And it's an occult ritual. And,
right.
You know, regardless of whether other people believe it to be true or not, it really doesn't matter what you believe.
Right.
What matters is that the people that are in control of things, they believe it.
Right. And they're driven by this very strongly, just like the caliphate people and, you know, the believing of and the Medes return with the bloodshed and all this nonsense.
The 12th Imam and all that garbage. I would challenge the Muslims. You know, I always hear about this prophet Muhammad, but I've never read a damn thing that he prophesied. I've never read a prophecy in the Quran. I've read a bunch of garbage, a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
A bunch of ideology and opinion, but I've never read any prophecies in there.
So here we have these people who believe this, what you and I would call kind of nonsense, but in all these thousands of years, who's still sitting in the throne? The
exactly.
Lord.
Exactly.
And it's not going to work. Why do they think? Are they that narcissistic and arrogant?
They are. That's man's stupid.
They are.
That's the arrogance of man. That
oh
is
my God.
Absolutely the arrogance of man.
DC has not seen the light. He will never see the light. They will never see the light.
Well,
and they want us. They won't. They won't see it, Ron. They will never see the light.
Oh, I know that. I know that. And that's why I said, you know, when I talked about Ron Paul. This is why I've been so adamant about Ron Paul. Well, I mean, one of the reasons. To me, Ron Paul is a litmus test. I'm looking around at how many people are listening to what the man's saying. They grasp what he's talking about. They get it. They absolutely get it. And the rest, those that don't, that are, you know, wanting to pick apart this phrase or this ideology or that, they simply don't understand. Not even a little bit.
I know. That's very sad. They don't do any homework, Ron. They're not connecting any dots of any sort. I mean,
just like the other party on the right side, you get those that are faithful to the GOP no matter if the guy sucks or not. They don't do any research and checking.
Right.
The GOP establishment picked him because that's who they want.
Yeah,
and
there's a term for this kind of thought process, and it's called circular logic. Okay, it's a praxeology, and people just they run in a circle, and that's why when you confront these people, whether they're liberal progressive idiots or they're Republican, what I call neocon idiots, okay, or Republican progressive idiots, in the end, every one of them, their arguments fail, they fall apart. Now, I will give the Republicans a little bit of credit because they at least can hang in there a little bit longer than the liberal progressives on the left side, but only just a measure more.
Right.
when it comes to logic, their arguments fall apart.
Yeah, it's sad because, like Bill was saying, when they get to D.C., they lose their souls. And I remember Michael Magic saying something about that these elitists, believe in all this secret knowledge and all this nonsense, and they've got all this supposed secrets from the dark side that makes them live longer. And I just say, well, I don't know about the secret knowledge, but I just think that they've sold out to the devil, and that's why they got a few extra years.
Well, you know, I have read a lot of books and writings on mystery religion, occult religion, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I think it is absolutely plausible, and not only plausible, I think it's the real deal. Where I think these people go off track is they don't read the teachings. They only get a little part of the teachings. And I think this is why
all they get is the interpretation from the man standing up there.
Well, you know, one of the things we were taught about the Egyptians is that they enslaved all these people and that slaves built the pyramids and all this. That's all hogwash. I'll tell you, the Egyptians, if you go back and study real Egyptian history, they weren't out trying to conquer the world. They weren't. They were trying to create a perfect society. Now, they wanted to live forever. And they really did. They were trying to have eternal life. So there they have this concept of eternal life and afterlife after this physical life.
Sure.
I think they had a lot of the main tenets correct, and they did believe it, for all intents and purposes, if you studied it, was a monotheistic religion, one creator that created everything, and all the different variations of deities that they had were simply what we might call angels, or another way of depicting God, the creator of all things.
Sure.
Wow. But you know, that doesn't mean that I think that the Egyptians had it right, and they ultimately failed. They were conquered by outside forces. But when you read through the stuff, and I've read The Spiritual Center of Man by Manly P. Hall, Understanding the Kybalon by Manly P. Hall. And there's a reoccurring theme in the teaching of all of this esoteric knowledge. And I think they're correct that what you have to do is you have to strip away all your human qualities. You have to strip away selfishness. You have to strip away all these things. And the depiction of that in ancient Egypt is the lotus flower. Okay?
Right.
So what they would call in the esoteric or occult the unfoldment of the spiritual being that's within you. So, you know, this to me sounds a lot like the Bible teaching that you have to die to self.
Right.
Okay? And that's true. And they warn time after time after time that if you enter into the pursuit of the occult for your own personal gain, it will not go well for you. It will go badly for you. You will be tormented. And your torture, everything that you cause, it's kind of like the idea of karma.
Yes.
Okay? Every bad thing that you, everything that you do that is done with bad intent, and I forget the name they give it, we would call it black magic for one term.
Sure.
But everything that you do, the ripple effect, the consequences of that, all will come back and be compiled on you. And not in a good way.
Yeah.
And we look at someone like a Fidel Castro. Okay? That guy should have died decades ago.
Sure.
I mean, honestly, he should have died. And so you got to start asking, how come all these just horrid bastards seem to live forever and ever? I think they're being tortured and punished. And I think God has a direct sense of humor. No, you're not going to die yet. You're going to suffer for another 10, 15 years.
God.
I'm dead. I'm absolutely dead serious about that.
I guess like God hasn't taken me away yet, so I suffer some more time.
Right, and you know what? The crazy thing is, that these very same people, their own drive, their own desire to live forever, helps to prolong their suffering.
Wow.
Well, you know.
That's irony.
It is.
It is irony.
Yeah.
It is. I'm sure everybody in this chat room has worked hard all their lives.
I don't necessarily look at the occult or the ancient mystery religions as necessarily an evil or bad thing. If they're taken in their original intent.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Bible. If you take it out of context and apply it differently, like the Roman Catholics do, then
right.
It becomes something other than what it was intended
to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what the occult truly teaches is that as you start out, and this is why you see the three pillars, you always start out underground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It always starts out below the surface. That's getting back to your roots, where you came from, the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the dark because
right.
you don't know anything. And while you're in the dark, the human nature part of you, all of those terrible attributes that
mm-hmm.
are the sin nature of man, are to be stripped away and left behind. And you're reborn. You're reborn as you ascend to the next level, a new man.
That's right. You know, I meant to tell you that last, Sunday. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's important that everyone knows this about Boaz and the truth. And the reason why we learned that part of the scripture is because once you learn Boaz and the truth, that what it means is that you're on the level. And when you're on the level, that's when you become a true gentleman.
Right.
And,
the problem comes in when you begin to realize that the G in the compass and square that the grand architect that they're worshiping is the one that is called the light bearer.
Yep.
See, because this is where we go off track with the esoteric knowledge, the hidden knowledge. It's still a quest for the tree of knowledge in the garden still, you see. And they believe that the tree of knowledge will empower them to the eternal life, the tree of life, which they were denied in the garden. But that Lucifer was the light bearer. He was the enlightened one. And this is where they go off the rails from the true mystery religion teachings.
And so what happens is
Satan becomes God.
To them,
in their ideology, and that's where it all goes off the rails.
When Lucifer put his hand on my neck and I didn't strike back, that's when I saw the light, supposedly.
Now, Isis or Ishtar, okay, Isis, Ishtar, that's the female deity, that is the female of Lucifer, and that is depicted in ancient Egyptian,
right?
Okay, and all the way through, and I know people roll their eyes, but it's depicted in the Statue of Liberty. It's depicted in the goddess Columbia that stands upon your capital, federal capital building. Those are all depictions of the female deity. And Linda, Bill, you guys were in D.C. Did you walk around and look at the symbology on all the buildings?
Yes.
It's rampant. It is absolutely
everywhere.
Rampant. Yes. I mean, at the Ag building, and I see, Poseidon up there in the relief over the building. I see Poseidon and the dolphins, and you see all these different
mm-hmm.
deities up there, and it's all playing out the same ritualistic crap.
So with this, in our present day, we've got the Muslim Brotherhood, we've got the Agenda 21 crowd, we've got the I call them the AmeriComs instead of the Chi-Coms, and they're all, you know, working together apparently to bring down this country and have this new world order over us. And, you know, how is this going to work out? I know God's in control and he's going to win, but we're going to go through some hell.
Look, it's not going to work out, okay? And they're delusional to believe it is. You've got too many different factions.
Right.
Okay?
First, you got to kill a few billion people.
Yeah.
You got the Earth worshippers, right? That go back to the Druids, and
sure.
I'm dead serious. Go back to the damn Stonehenge,
yeah.
Era. Okay. You got the Muslims that are, you know, that they worship the sin nature of man, basically, if you really break it down. All of the things that Islam uses to entice its inherents,
uh-huh.
its believers, is, you know, the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Money and sex, virgins and, you know, I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah. Hi.
So you have all these different factions, and then you've got the mosquito class at the very top, okay, that are leading these people along, throwing out the little trail of breadcrumbs, because they believe that they are at the top of the pyramid, the eye of Horus, all the knowledge. They've already got all the knowledge. And if they can just use these factions to bring about the end that they envision, then they will rule the world. That, I mean, that's honestly what they believe, and they're not far from it.
Yeah, I know. So how do we, how do we fight this?
You run them over with your car.
You don't allow yourself, you do not allow yourself to become deceived. That's why I put it, the only thing that remains of America is the idea. That's what they're trying to kill.
Yep.
They've got the military end of it sewn up. They've got the monetary end of it sewn up tight as a drum. The only thing left is the hearts and minds of the people.
Exactly.
Tearing down the culture.
Yep. And if you can get a religious war going between the two largest religions on the planet, that represent do you realize how many people are represented by Christianity and Islam?
A whole huge amount.
A ton.
About 3 billion.
At least 3 billion. That's a lot of folks.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like a black-on-black crime or, you know, like a Muslim-on-Muslim crime. Turn them loose and let them kill each other.
Oh, jeez.
That's the plan.
And then wipe out what's left.
Yeah. Those that remain... we'll either be re-educated or terminated, one or the other.
Okay, Bill, you gotta stake out some really good places for us to hang out in those hills.
we have.
Oh man.
Do you honestly believe in this day and age you can hide?
I don't know.
Well, I'll be honest. Not where I'm at, but if I can get out of here and get up to bigger places, I can make it a whole lot harder to come and get me.
Sure, but you know you've got one enemy that'll get you every time, and that's, you know, 98.6 body temperature.
Oh, but I can get around that, Ron.
Yeah, I know. There are ways
to get around that.
Yeah.
They've been using that for quite a while, and part of our training was how to avoid those.
You know, Mylar works pretty good, but it's still tough to get rid of a heat signature.
Oh,
so Ron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with a person who's an Obama supporter, and she walks around a neighborhood like she does? He's going to win, and all she does is. Pass around with her Boston Terrier, and every time I'm riding my bike, you know, trying to get some exercise, you know, she has this hateful stare about. I mean, these socialists have the hateful stare, man. You can tell a socialist
from a mile away.
Robert, go to your local dollar store, okay?
Uh-huh.
And go back in the toy section and find one of those little orange plastic dart guns that shoot those little suction cup darts. And just tag her one right in the forehead. Ow.
Smile
and tell her, I'm keeping an eye on you. I'm watching you.
No.
It's a little eye thing, Robert, where you point at your eyes and point
right,
at her.
Exactly.
Really,
but you gotta make sure you're wearing your cowboy boots and your yarmulke and the towel. I mean, gotta have
towel.
It.
Do you like that?
True. I don't have no cowboy boots.
Oh my Lord!
All my boots are round toes.
The good news is I still have my old meter. I don't have a smart meter.
Yeah.
You know, Robert. In all honesty, you want to know what I would do? I mean, dead serious. I'm not joking. The next time you see her and she's giving you a dirty look, stop. Get off your bike, walk up to her and tell her, how you doing today? God bless you for what you're doing. You will ruin her freaking week. I guarantee it. You'll ruin her week.
Wow.
Just tell her, you know, I just wanted to tell you, you know, God bless you for what you're doing. God bless you.
God bless.
Get on your bike and ride off. Don't say another word.
Oh, man.
She will pull her hair out when she goes home. She won't be able to deal with it. She'll be just beside herself, I promise you. She'll probably kick her dog.
But I tell you, man, she's wild, man. She's one wild son. You know, I was getting ready to go to the bank, and I was driving my car, right?
There's the story in and of itself. Robert going to the bank. There's a joke in there, but I'll leave it alone.
So I was going to the bank, and I'm backing out of my driveway, and she's walking right there's a right and a left hand lane, right? She was walking in the middle of the right hand lane.
Well, I got to tell you, hold on. I hate to interrupt, but right now, I can't get this mental picture out of my mind of Scrooge McDuck.
Now what?
The Duck's uncle, McScrooge or whatever, where he's in the gold vault playing with the coins and the Robert going to the bank. I'm sorry. That's just a mental picture.
It's what you call a bad bank day. What can I tell you? You know?
Well, Ron just changed it for me because I had a vision of Jack Benny as a mouse in his cheese vault.
Oh, my Lord. Did you have a Jack Daniels day?
Robert. See, all the Jewish references, Robert, I can't help it. You know I got to give you a hard time.
I don't care you give me a hard time, Uncle Bill. I'm used to it. That's why God put me on this earth.
to be a punching bag for all the Gentiles.
That's the only final impression that I have. My God put me on this earth. You know, my father's last words before he died to me, his very final last words. It was like maybe an hour before he died. He held my hand and he looked at me and he says, Robert, my nickname, he called me Rabu. And that was my nickname. He says, Rabu, you're the only guy I know that knows how to take S.
Take what?
S, the dirty word S.
Oh.
Scared me for a second.
Stuff. Yeah, I was a little worried there myself.
The dirty word S. He said that. He says, you're the only guy I know that knows how to take it. So to me, that was a compliment.
He really steps into it, doesn't he, Ron? He leaves himself pretty much.
I know.
What paper was it today that put out on their front page about Ahmadinejad being a piece of crap, in other words?
I don't know.
The New York Times?
I didn't see the article. It's
on the front page.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I read part of that today. You know, again, you got all this rhetoric going on over there. And, I mean, just dang. And if you truly, and I'm, God almighty, I'm not even attempting to defend I'm a nut job and their whole, you know, the 12th Imam, the Mahdi climbing up out of the well ideology by any stretch. I don't want to be in the unenviable position of defending him. But if you go back and actually read a translation of his comments, he's very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that it is necessarily a hatred of Jews. What he has consistently said is the Zionist regime in Israel should be removed, and that Israel should be wiped from the map. Now, there's a couple of different ways that you can interpret that. One would be physically he wants to kill all the Jews. I don't believe that's what he's saying. I believe what he's saying is that when you look at a map, the area that says Israel shouldn't be there.
Right.
And I happen to agree with him. Probably not for the same reasons, but that's okay.
Yeah. Jeez.
But let's be real. Truthfully, if you look at what's right and wrong and morality and everything, this whole damn planet shouldn't be here.
Well, I won't go there. That's God's decision, not mine.
Yeah.
But because of his love, we are.
Exactly. You know, that's kind of what I had talked about a while back.
Ahmadinejad, today, he did refer to the Jews. He's in the streets right now. He's going to meetings. He referred to the Jews. The Jews need to be annihilated. And that's how he said it, the Jews. He didn't say the Zionists. But he's also out here attacking the gays and demeaning gays. And I would tell every one of the gays in this country, look at him, listen to him, because that's exactly what your president supports.
Which is quite ironic, because he's been on the down low his whole life. How does that work out? God.
Well, I'm wondering if that's one of them things where, you know, he can do anything as long as it's furthering the cause of Islam.
Yep, maybe they're giving him a pass on it until it's time to take him out. Who knows? I don't know. I'm so tired of it all. Tired
you
of
know,
the...
I wonder if he realizes that, you know, the true Muslims in the Semitic tradition refer to the blacks as pug-nosed slaves.
Not sure.
Well, I don't think he knows that much, because right after the Egypt, you see them going in there, and they were killing black Muslims because they were black Muslims.
Right.
You know, that's like these guys that come out, the Moors. They're Muslim, but they have this whole Moorish identity that they were the kings of the earth and all this. I'm like, wow, you guys have taken Islam and twisted it to a whole new level. I had the discerning and displeasuring experience of meeting up with a group of them in D.C. at their little counter protest rally,
right.
And and my stepmother is sitting there talking to them, and they will proselytize you just like the Mormons do, and they'll feed you the biggest line of BS you ever heard, and you'll think, wow, these guys are Christian. Nah, not even close.
Wow.
Don't even think for a moment that you're getting anywhere with these guys, because when they look at you, they see a pig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're not black. So, there's plenty of hate to go around in this world. There really is.
It's really sad that we're dealing with, you know, the mosquito class who doesn't give a rat's behind about any of us or our American idea from the founding, and they're just completely, everybody's getting sold down the river here, especially, you know, as Americans. I don't know where to go with this, although there's 300 and 30 million of us. How do they, I guess they're going to do what Stalin did and just haul us off in cattle cars. I don't know.
Yeah. The problem is none of these people, none of these groups can see past their own ideology.
Okay.
They just can't. They cannot see. Yeah, that's what I told you. It's like Mitt Romney and saying, you know, he's gonna do something for the Constitution. And no, he can't see it. He can't see the problem because
right.
his thought process is wholly within the system.
Sure. Yeah, he's still inside that little cubicle that they've constructed. And
absolutely.
And there's no way, apparently it's impossible for these folks to grasp. I don't know why.
He's the rat in the maze that's found the cheese, and he's perfectly content.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So is there any way for us to take it back? I mean, is there any way possible besides with divine intervention? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I truly do not believe that there will be another divine intervention. I believe that man has been left to his own devices at this point, and we're going to see the culmination of that.
Right.
Your question was, can we take it back? And my question would be, did you ever have it?
Well, you know where I'm going with this. I'm not talking Hamiltonians.
Right. No, I know what you're talking about, but the point is, the point I'm trying to make is that our generation, your generation, mm-hmm. you know, we never had it. We
right.
heard about it. We've heard
right.
stories about it. We've read about it
right.
in history books. But have we ever truly had it? I don't believe we have.
Probably not. Not the way it should have been.
Can it be attained? Absolutely.
Because I when I say divine intervention, I'm not talking about, you know, the clouds opening and Christ.
No,
coming.
I understand.
I'm talking about the same kind of intervention when you know, the Revolutionary War was fought. I do think he had a hand in helping those people, our little ragtag boys.
Certainly could be, and you know, from the stories, I would certainly say that sounds very plausible. But I, you know, at the same time, I don't think that it's even necessary, because mankind has proven repeatedly that you know, it's like the old adage, give them enough rope and they'll hang
yep.
themselves, and that's what they're going to do, and it will fall apart. It's going to fall apart. It's inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, it depends on where you're standing when all this hits the fan, huh?
Well, I think that's the trick. Make sure you're not standing next to any tall buildings in an earthquake, you know. Know your
yeah.
surroundings, have your head on your shoulders squarely,
yeah.
and know your foundation, and
sure.
don't get drawn into it. Right. Don't get deceived.
And that's the hard part, but
it
I'm
is.
Learning, and because I'm surrounded by people in my own little groups, you know, like we talked about, and so if I don't look to the spiritual word, I'm going to be lost and swept away with all this craziness. So,
you know, what is amazing to me, what I've found, and, you know, I've been forwarding you these articles from the Von Mises
right.
Institute.
Yes.
You actually will run across, if you read economics and long enough, you come to the realization that economics might be the one perfect philosophy.
Right.
Because they simply don't delve off into all these other rabbit trails. They
sure.
simply look at things very pragmatically.
Exactly.
There's a goal. There's an end game. And we have to look at the various means of achieving the goal.
Right.
And the easiest means of achieving the goal without interfering or disrupting others is the
mm-hmm.
correct way to go. And they see that. That's why, you know, when Ron Paul's saying all this stuff, if you read through the Austrian economic theory,
sure.
you begin to realize that's where all of that came from.
Wow.
Every bit of it. It's all contained in that theory.
Well, you know, that one that I was reading that you sent from the Deutsche
Bank?
Bank?
Yes.
Yeah. which also talked about the gold standard and the value of gold and what the Fed's doing. And then I had sent back saying, do you think they'll laugh at me if I ask for my Social Security money in gold? They probably would. but, I mean, just like you say, we know that because of just history that gold holds its value, as does silver.
Sure.
And you know, when you look at the definition of capital and you look at economics from that basic standpoint and how one drives the other and how a free market kind of gets born, and it is very simplistic. It's like the Occam's razor. The most simple explanation is the best.
And it is absolutely a natural consequence of things. And if you looked at that article, there was something in that article where they were talking about the value of gold. And that's why whenever I talk about a gold standard and these people call in inevitably,
sure,
and they always make the same statement, which that article addressed very well, and that is, well, there's not enough gold.
Doesn't have to be.
Well, the problem that you run into, it's not the amount of gold that is your problem. The problem is that you're trying to compare the amount of gold that's been mined and is above ground and in
sure.
possession of human beings. You're trying to extrapolate that into dollar value and value it against all the assets on the earth and all the debt on the earth. And you find out that, gee, at the current valuation, you come up short. Well, hey, dumbass, revalue.
Yeah, stop spending.
Change the measure. Instead of an ounce, use a grain.
It's irrelevant.
It's right. Totally irrevelant, and I know when people call and they raise that argument, I know they just don't have a clue, because it valuation is completely and wholly and totally irrelevant.
Right.
It's a construct of the mind. I mean, that's all it is. It's completely irrelevant.
Right.
What makes a dollar a dollar?
Yeah,
why is
gas
$4 a gallon? Because we say it is.
True.
I mean, it truly is. The valuation is just... it's a stumbling block, and people can't get past it.
Yep,
money's just a tool.
It is. It's capital is production, and the money is the exchange.
And when you have a controlling entity trying to place an arbitrary valuation
mm-hmm.
on any commodity, it rips the system apart, and eventually it fails. It's
right.
just the natural consequence of it. Let the damn marketplace set the price.
And that's why when I do the von Mises and the Hayek stuff, I mean, they lay it out pretty in depth that this is all central economic planning, and it's evil. That you
sure.
know, it's the same ideology that they're using the EPA for and the this and the food, you know, the food police and the, I mean, this is total totalitarian type control, and it's tyranny, and I'm tired of it. So
you know, we hear every day about our recession and why we're and our recovery and why we're not recovering.
Recovery.
Right? And so the Fed thinks they need to pump more money into the system.
Oh my
but,
god,
you know,
to make it better.
Yeah, there's things that they're not even contemplating. And I can tell you, I've been in the auto repair business my whole life. Okay? And
sure.
one of the undesirable consequences of inflating the money supply and creating easy credit and easy money is that you drive prices to the point
uh-huh.
that when a correction does occur,
sure.
you find that you've priced yourself out of business.
Yes.
And that is occurring left and right. The company I work for has 10 locations. Every single day, the 10 locations combined must earn at least a grand total of $40,000 just to break even and pay expenses.
Wow.
Okay? So we've created for ourselves a gigantic hole.
Mm-hmm.
The last 5 days, we've been below $35,000 collectively as a company. If I look at the projections year to date, I see that we're, you know, over $200,000 in the hole.
Good grief.
Now, how long do you suppose the owner of our company is going to continue taking $200,000 out of her own savings and investments?
not long.
to facilitate paying me a salary so that I can put food on my table. You see, and the consequence is we've created all this overhead, and so I have to charge $180 to do a brake job.
Right.
When the guy down the road that doesn't have my overhead can do the same job for half the price.
Wow.
The difference is when things get really tight, see, his overhead is pretty tight too. And so he has to sell that brake job at $80 a job. And while he gets some of the overflow work that I don't get, he's soon going to find himself struggling. And guess what? My company has deeper pockets than he does personally.
Right. Wow.
And the big corporations like Sears and Napa and those, they have deeper pockets yet. And so they're going to go out and buy up all these failing businesses.
Jeez.
And we have a consolidation of wealth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy what's going on, and I know that they're doing with the QE3 or whatever. It's just going to make things.
Hell, they're already calling for QE4. They're not happy with QE3, and it just got started.
Oh yeah, well I'll tell you, it didn't take long because the other day when I went to the market, I thought, holy smokes. Well, I said, yeah, it's here. That inflation is really here. Only it's not hyper yet, but it. My God, I can't believe the price of food. I'm looking at stuff going, oh, this is not good. I need a place so I can grow my own, you know, cattle
well,
or something.
I mean,
oh,
my God.
Wait till spring. Wait till spring.
I know.
You want to see the price of food. And you're going to see a big push to try to keep us from eating meat.
They're feeding cattle candy right now.
Jeez. Well,
that don't make sense, Ron. I watched a guy plowing his crop under the other day.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
And corn, I don't know. Rom, you probably know this. You've been on a farm. Corn, even if you don't have it don't grow the ears. The stalks are usable for food too for the cattle.
Yep. Well, as long as you get them before they're dried out. But
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's called silage. They used to.
Bill, yeah. The reason we're not going to be eating beef is because we can't afford it.
Well, that's the whole part of the plan. They want to make it where you can't afford it.
It just makes me tired.
Yeah, it's trying to make everybody a vegetarian so that, you know, because now they're claiming that the big livestock farms and stuff causes global warming.
Well, you know, the whole thing was, and you follow it back, you saw all the easy money, as my grandfather called it, in the
mm-hmm.
80s. Okay, when Reagan was coming in, we were trying to stimulate the economy. Man, farmers could go out and get a damn payday loan practically from the government. And, you know, I had a family member. He was my grandfather's brother's son. And everybody called him the Big Wheel. Big A. And he had, you know, over 100,000 acres in farmland that he had bought up. And he drove all the best equipment and automobiles and everything else. And he was playing with the boys on the mercantile exchange up in Chicago. And they pulled the rug out from under him, and he lost everything. And the last time I saw him, he was driving a 79 Chrysler that was rusted out. And he didn't have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of, but he was a high roller there for a while.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You get all these family farms have been consolidated and bought up by conglomerate. There's very few of them left.
That was the whole idea behind the John Mellencamp's Blood on the Scarecrow, Blood on the Plow, or Rain
mm-hmm.
on the
yep.
Scarecrow, Blood on the Plow, because they were putting the small-time farmers out of business. Well, they're still doing it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They don't want us to have anything. Guys, we're going
to
go.
They want a
collective
farm run by the government.
Yep.
Oh yeah. So that worked out well for the Ukraine.
Everyone, have a great night.
Yeah,
God
thank you, Bill.
You.
And listen, take care of your family, and I know we're praying for you and your dad and everybody, so thanks, Ron, for calling
thank you.
In. Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Linda. It's a hard time, and without friends like you guys, I don't know how I'll be getting through everything.
Absolutely. You got the Lord, you know, and us. So, again, you guys have a really great night.
God bless.
And it was fun doing the show. We got through a lot of stuff. So I'll see you guys tomorrow, and God bless. Thanks.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.